Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Text 27. Sukaharsha bayadvesa. Sukaharsha bayadvesa. Loba moha madandita. Loba moha madandita. Mito gyanantam napas. Wait, no. Nantam mito nantam napashyanti. Mito nantam napashyanti. Bavar bavam pratak drisha. Bavar bavam pratak drisha. Sokaharsha bayadvesa. Loba moha madandita. Mitognantam napashyanti. Babar bavam pratak drisha. Others, please. Loba moha madandita. Vaishnavis? Anybody? No. Okay. Soka. Lamentation. Harsha. Jubilation. Baya. Fear. Dvesa. Envy. Loba. Greed. Moha. Illusion. Mada. Madness. Andita. Endowed. With. Sorry. Endowed with. Mita. One another. Nantam. Engaged in killing. Napashyanti. Do not see. Bavai. Because of such differentiation. Bhavam, the situation in relation to the Supreme Lord. Pritak Drisha, persons who see everything as separate from the control of the Lord. So this is Vasudev speaking now. Okay, Krishna's father. Translation. Persons with the vision of differentiation are imbued with the material qualities, lamentation, jubilation, fear, envy, greed, illusion, and madness. They are influenced by the immediate cause, which they are busy counteracting. Because they have no knowledge of the remote supreme cause, the personality of Godhead. Purport. Krishna is the cause of all causes, sarvakarana karanam. But one who has no connection with Krishna is disturbed by immediate causes and cannot restrain his vision of separation or differences. When an expert physician treats a patient, he tries to find the original cause of the disease and is not diverted by the symptoms of that original cause. Similarly, a devotee is never disturbed by reverses in life. Tatenu kampam susamikshamana. It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14, text 8. A devotee understands that when he is in distress, this is due to his own past misdeeds, which are now accruing reactions. Although by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these are only very slight. Karmani Nidrahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam, Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 54. When a devotee, under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to suffer because of faults and his past deeds, he passes through only a little misery by the grace of the Lord. Although the disease of a devotee is due to mistakes committed in some time in the past, he agrees to suffer and tolerate such miseries, and he depends fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he is never affected by material conditions of lamentation, jubilation, fear, and so on. A devotee never sees anything to be unconnected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Madhvacharya, quoting from the Bhavishya Purana, says, Bhagavad darshanat yasya virodad darshanam pritak pritag drishti savigne ho yo natu sad beta darshana. Om Meghanatamananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakara Mayam Dadati Swaparanti Kam. So this is Vasudev speaking, and he's talking about, at least the purport is talking about, a devotee when he's suffering, how he understands it, and it's very important. The main point that I get when I read this is that a devotee understands when he's suffering that, for one thing, he understands it's not due to the superficial causes, like as Prabhupada said, the symptoms of a disease are different from the actual cause of a disease. Basically, what it is, a devotee understands that I'm suffering. Yes, it's due to my past, misdeeds or past mistakes, but really what's going on is Krishna is trying to help me. Krishna is trying to teach me something. You see? That's the real thing. Because Krishna, as it mentioned here in the purport, Prabhupada said, Karmani Nidrahati Kinchu to Bhakti Bhajan. That's from the Brahma Samhita. And it's referring to how, for a devotee, Krishna can minimize the reaction to the sinful activity. You see, he can minimize it to nothing if he wanted to. See? So, I mean, in one sense, devotees really don't even have to suffer. I mean, Krishna's in control, and he could arrange it so that the devotees don't have to suffer at all if he wanted to. I mean, it's within his power, right? As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he knows everything. He's in control of everything. And he's the greatest friend and well-wisher of every living entity. And he's particularly inclined to the devotees. There's that verse in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvaistostinapriya. Yay Bhajanti Tamam Bhakcha Maite Teshu Chapiham, that I envy no one, I'm not partial to anyone, I'm equal to everybody, but want to render service to me in devotion. I'm a friend, I'm in him, and he's a friend to me. So Krishna's partial, he's specially inclined to the devotees. So, you know, if he wanted to, he could minimize that, those reactions to the past misdeeds to nothing, so the devotee wouldn't have to suffer at all. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. And he doesn't do that for a reason, because if that devotee's not a pure devotee, for instance, he might, it might be a good idea to let him have a little suffering, because he's trying to instruct him. Krishna's trying to teach. You see, and it's different from the kind of teaching that a non-devotee would get. Just like Prabhupada would use this example. Just say you have a situation here in America. Okay, well, imagine it was a kingdom. So the subjects in a kingdom, if they commit some crime, they go to prison. You know, they get caught and they're thrown in jail. And they suffer the punishment. And it's hoped that they will also learn something. You know, it's not like it's totally sadistic. It's also hoped that, well, hopefully they'll learn something. They'll learn a lesson. And when they get out, they won't rob that bank again, or they won't do whatever they did, you know, to get themselves in that situation. So that's part of the motivation behind the that system. But if a member of the royal family commits a crime, then, you know, when they're caught, when they're apprehended and tried, so to speak, it's a whole, they get preferential treatment. You see, they'll also be punished, most likely. It's unlikely that they'll just be let scot-free. They'll also be punished, but it'll be designed personally. You know, that punishment will be personally engineered, designed and engineered by the other members of the royal family to really teach that person a lesson. They get, because they're part of the family, so they get preferential treatment. They'll still be punished. So it's kind of like that between, that's the relationship between devotees suffering and ordinary people suffering. Now, just so that you can feel nice and comfortable that Bhrigupati didn't just make that up, it's not his speculation. I've got it's empty, by the way. I got the reference for it from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada basically makes this point. This is from first chapter 5, text 19. So, and the Prabhupada says, I'm going to read a few sentences leading up to the actual point. A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasa graha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like fruit of workers who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never considered the same as a fallen karmi. Here it comes, okay? A karmi suffers the results of his own fruit of actions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. I'll read that again. A karmi suffers the results of his own fruit of reactions, and this is the main phrase here, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. So in other words, Krishna personally gets involved. See, when the devotees are involved, Krishna's involved. Okay? So, which is really wonderful to think about. And this is why, this is the main reason, at least my understanding, why devotees are not disturbed. You know, the more elevated a devotee is, to the degree somebody's a devotee and has this understanding that Krishna is the cause of all causes. Krishna is, you know, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend of every living entity, and he's particularly inclined to his devotees. You know, the more somebody's absorbed, genuinely absorbed in that understanding of life, that realization, to that degree, they're not going to be disturbed by these, you know, things such as, how are they referred to here? A lamentation, jubilation, fear, envy. It's just going to be superficial. It's just going to be when they're in times of difficulty, times of trials and tribulation, they're going to be meditating. Okay, I know what's going on here. Krishna's trying to help me. I have some attachment. I have some impurity in my consciousness. Krishna's trying to, he's making an arrangement here to help me get purified, to help me become free from my material attachments, my material contamination. It's His mercy, you know. I'm going to come out on the other end of this a much better person, a much better devotee, you know, more purified, more. It's going to help me develop my love for Him, etc. So I got to let me tolerate this. I know what's going on. It's uncomfortable. I'm not, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd rather not have to be going through this, but I know what's going on. It's Krishna's mercy. I'll just take it, you know, in stride and continue on. And I know it's for my benefit. It's for my ultimate benefit. That's an important point right there, too. That Krishna is always acting for the ultimate benefit of every living entity. And sometimes that can be, you know, because people don't understand that, they get bewildered. You know, but that's Krishna's always, you know, just in one lecture, Prabhupada said, Krishna never acts outside the principle of love. He didn't say those exact words, but that was the idea. So he's always acting for the ultimate benefit of every living entity. Devotees can understand that. And that's why when, you know, times of trials and tribulations arise, you know, tate nu kampam susamikshamana, a devotee, when he's in distress, he knows, he just thinks, okay, this is due to my past misdeeds, and now, so, you know, which are now accruing, and Krishna's allowing that to happen because he's wanting me to learn something here. See? So he's okay. He's okay with that, you know, and he just tolerates it, and he knows that, as I said, in the long run, it's going to be for his ultimate benefit. So that's... that's a really important. I'll just read a little bit more here. So Prabhupada goes on to say, the sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. So that's us. That's the case of the devotees. You know, it might appear that, well, devotees are... people, you know, ordinary people are suffering, and devotees are suffering. What's the difference, you know? Well, there is a difference. You know, we're undergoing suffering that's, as I said, personally, not just my idea. You know, devotees are performed by chastisement directed by the Lord Himself. So we're undergoing suffering that has been personally designed by Krishna, you know, to really help us advance in devotional service. Whereas an ordinary person, he's undergoing suffering, which is certainly ordained by Krishna, and it's hoped that as a result of, you know, undergoing that suffering, he will learn something and, you know, become a better person as well. But it's like this relationship between the orphan and the, you know, the beloved child of a rich man. The devotee is getting preferential treatment from Krishna. Reading a little bit more here. The fruit of workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange of devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord Himself. As a special favor, He may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives, and so he comes to his senses, and again by the mercy of the Lord, and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in a family of highly qualified brahmanas or in a rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position seemingly of helplessness. The devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotees born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotee who is put in a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. So that's interesting too. So we have to be prepared and try to understand what's going on. In other words, if Krishna's, just like there's that verse, Yashyahamana Nugrami Hadashe Tajanam Shanai, that when Krishna says, when I particularly favor somebody, the first installment of my mercy is I pull the carpet out from under him. I, you know, take away all their material, their material prosperity and affluence, and if that's what's required, to get them to, you know, take full shelter of me. In other words, if Krishna can see that a devotee is sincere but simultaneously attached, materially attached in some way, then Krishna smashes that. He'll smash that material attachment so that devotee will just fully take shelter of him. And Prabhupada says in one purport in the Bhagavatam, if he tries again, you know, after getting smashed, he tries to recoup and get it back together, and Krishna will smash him again. So, but yeah, so devotees have this kind of knowledge, and that's why it is, you know, getting back to today's verse, that they're able to be, I think in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, there's that verse where it talks, you know, it's talking about the good qualities of devotee, and it says the devotee is always calm and patient, and, you know, in very difficult circumstance life. And this is why. Because he can always see Krishna's hand in it. He's always appreciating that, no, Krishna's behind all this, and it's whatever's happening to me, it's for my benefit. You know, he's trying to help me get purified. He's trying to help me make advancement in devotional service. Narada Muni thought like that. Actually, Narada Muni, if you remember the story, was, you know, he was living with his mother. She was like a servant, a maid servant, and she was his only support. I mean, it was just him and his mother. And then one day she went out and she was milking a cow or something, and she got bit by a snake, if I remember correctly, and she died. Right? And then that was it. He had nobody to take care of him. He was 3-4 years old. He was 4 years old. And he was just there, no mother anymore, and, you know, she was just a maid servant anyway. It wasn't like, you know, it was any big deal to take care, you know, an important kid or anything like that. He wasn't like the son of a king or something. And then he just, well, what to do? And as Prabhupada says in the purport, Vyasadeva says, he took it as a benedictory direction from the Lord, who's always desiring the welfare of his devotees. So he just took it, this is Krishna's arrangement, to make me, help me become fully dependent upon him, to take full shelter of him, which is exactly what he did, you see. So, because the devotee's thinking like that, he's seeing at every step a benedictory direction from the Lord. Therefore, when these reverses in life appear, he's not bewildered. He's not bewildered like an ordinary person who is kind of like, why is this happening to me? You know, actually, that's one of the people become atheists because of, you know, the inability to understand this. Prabhupada, you know, the classic example that Prabhupada gave was World War II, that the German women were praying, well, probably the British women too, I mean in Europe, the women were praying, please let my husband return, or please let my son return from the battle, you know, from the war. And then when they didn't return, they thought, what is this? You know, this is so unfair. And this God is useless. I don't believe he even exists. Actually, my mother had that kind of an experience. She was, as a very young girl, her father was an Orthodox Jew. And he was praying all the time. He did everything. You know, he was just like Hare Krishnas do. You know, we're not the only ones that get up early in the morning and pray and do a whole lot of stuff, you know. People in other religions do, at least the Jewish religion people do. And so he was in that category. And but he died very young. I can't even remember the exact age. I think, you know, like right around 50, 48 or something like that. She was 11 years old. And her thinking went like this. She told me, more than once, she used to repeat it. You know, she said, who could have been a better, you know, devotee of God? She didn't use those words, but who could have been a better godly person than my father? You know, he did everything. He got up early, put on, you know, the Jews, as I said, they do a whole ritual that they do. He did the whole thing. And he was praying, and he did, even on the fasting days, he wouldn't even take his medicine because, you know, you're not supposed to put anything in your mouth. And she said, look what happened to him. You know? So what is the use of this God? And she couldn't, well, you know, he did, you know, what's the use? So people think like that because, you know, they don't have the depth of philosophical knowledge. They don't have the understanding that whatever Krishna is doing, it's for the ultimate benefit. I mean, just, you know, I after many, many years of hearing my mother say this, I one time mentioned, said, well, you know, Mom, maybe he's in a much better place than here, you know? And she went, oh, I never thought of that, you know, that it could be better in some way. But anyway, so devotees are we're in a fortunate position to, we have this understanding, and it's what enables us to, sustain, endure, tolerate, etc. So many reverses in life. I mean, of course, as is just about with everything, Prabhupada, one of the greatest example would be Srila Prabhupada, who went through hell. To say hell would be to minimize it, to start this Krishna consciousness movement. The older you get, the more you marvel, the more appreciation, genuine appreciation you can have for what Prabhupada did. I'm recently turned 65, and I think to myself, wait a second, 65, Prabhupada was 70 when he just first started the movement. And I just sit there and I scratch my head and I go, what? How the heck did... Because how do you start it's incredible. It's incredible. And that was after, two heart attacks and a stroke. It's one thing to do something to venture out to do something when you're young and you're healthy and you're full of energy, you're full of beans, as the expression goes, and that's one thing. But at the fag end of your life, as Prabhupada described it, to embark upon such an ambitious venture as starting a worldwide spiritual movement, which his godbrothers already failed at the same attempt in Europe and in Germany, and in England and in Germany. It's like incredible. So anyway, getting to the point, Prabhupada had this realization. Prabhupada had this, very deep conviction that, Krishna's for real, and he's going to help me. And all these trials and tribulations, these reverses that are happening, the heart attacks and the strokes and the this and the that, this is all just, to strengthen my determination and, give me further, deeper realization about, who Krishna is and what he can do. And that's really how it worked. Prabhupada said, if it is possible, going through all those experiences actually did heighten or enhance Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness, as I said, if that's possible, because there's this one letter where he wrote in response to a letter that a devotee wrote to him. He said, Sudama, who's no longer with us, passed away, but he said, when I was alone in your New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible place? But at least I can distribute a few of my books. That is something. But then he goes, but Krishna was all along planning something I could not see. He brought you young American and European boys and girls to me one by one for spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya. Now I could see it as a miracle. He says, because otherwise you're one old man with barely enough money for buying edibles. How could he survive? What to speak of spreading a God-conscious movement for the saving of the entire human race? He said, it's a miracle. Now I can see it. See? So that was the point, that all that happened to Prabhupada, and what was his gain? His gain was the realization that Krishna was all along planning something I could not see. You see? Prabhupada got that realization. He had that realization that Krishna's there. Krishna's in control. Krishna's making it happen. Krishna's reciprocating with the sincere efforts of this pure devotee to follow the instruction of his spiritual master, which was to take this knowledge from India and spread it in the Western world. And Prabhupada could understand that, okay, Krishna is all along. I went through hell. I had these problems with my health. I had problems with these. These people were so fallen and unqualified and whatever the problems were. But Krishna was all along planning something I could not see, and Prabhupada had a very powerful, tangible, concrete realization of that. And that's why Prabhupada was able to proceed like a lion. You know, that's why Prabhupada was able to come, you know, face to face against scientists, philosophers, you know, people with all sorts of academic credentials and qualifications. But he was so courageous because Prabhupada's knowledge was not gyan, it was vigyan, realized knowledge. He had realized knowledge that Krishna is there. Krishna's all along planning something I can't see. Knows he's there. He's backing me, and that was the, you know, why Prabhupada was able to be like that. So how are we doing for time here? 10 past. Is it 10 past? Am I seeing it correctly? You know what? I had a lot of other stuff. A lot of